I have to say this because it is so important, that, but you need to stay plugged in to the life of the body of Christ. Not just an attender or an observer, but an actual participant in the life of Christ. Amen. Connected in. And we need each other. We need what you have, and you need what we have. So that we can be nourished, strengthened, built up in the faith. And the days are getting darker, are they not? I don't want to spew out all kinds of anything that to in any way suggests that we're hopeless, because we're never hopeless in the Lord. But the days are dark that we're living in. And if there was ever a time we need to be close to God, it is now. There is a falling away taking place. And people who have been under this delusion to think that I can do it on my own, okay, independent of the body of Christ, that is a deception of the enemy. It is Jesus' plan, it's God's plan, that we are together in fellowship. Amen? It doesn't have to just be in church, but we need to be gathering together. But church is important. The enemy is against people coming to church, especially if it is a church that is preaching the truth. Amen. And that is open to the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you, because God has given you charge of your life. You have to take charge, and you have to say to yourself, you will do what God tells you to do. Because what happens is, so often we're just being motivated by the feelings of the moment. If I feel like it, I do it. Are you hearing me, somebody? If I don't feel like it, I don't do it. If I feel like praying, I pray. If I don't, I don't. And how many know the enemy will work through your emotions, because your emotions are that soulish realm of you. Amen. That is easily swayed, easily influenced by the adversary, the devil. He works on the emotional part of man. And sometimes what people think is spiritual is actually soulish and devilish. Now, if you are obedient to God and you are saying yes to his voice, even contrary to how you're feeling, doing what is right, not how you feel, then good feelings follow faith. But if you just go or navigate by your soul instead of your spirit, amen, then you're going to often miss God, because you're only going to be controlled by how you feel and not be navigating by what is true. This is a battle of truth. We will obey the truth or we won't. And if we are soulish, if we are carnal, if you will, if we're full of us and not full of him, then we're going to do what we want, and we're going to disregard what God wants. And we're only going to do what God wants when it agrees with what we want. And that's not being led by the Spirit. That's being led by your own soul. Amen. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So I'm saying this is because sometimes we're thinking, well, if God shows up, or an angel shows up, or an angel touches me, or if he does something, then I'll respond. But what are you doing with what you already know to do, and what's God already revealed to you, at least some of what he expects of you? Are we willing to listen to him, irregardless of how I feel about it? If Jesus had gone by his emotions, he would have not have gone to the cross. He would have not accomplished the Father's will if he was being led by what his soul wanted to do. But he told himself, you're going to submit to the Father's will. And when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup be removed from me. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Do you understand? This is how we must live our lives. God gave us this thing called self-control. It is a fruit of the Spirit. God supplies the grace for you and I to behave ourselves, to obey His voice, and do what He tells us to do, regardless of how we're feeling, because He supplies this grace that is greater than our emotions. If Paul the Apostle had been led by his emotions, he would not have accomplished the will of God. He suffered because he was obedient. But he has entered into his reward. You understand? If we just go by how we're feeling, what's easy and what's comfortable, and what kind of agrees with what I want to do, we will not accomplish the will of God for our lives. And there's coming a day when every one of us is going to see Jesus. And Jesus paid the highest price for us, not only for our redemption, but as an investment in our lives, that we would take the grace, amen, that He's pouring out on us, and that we would extend it to others. He's made a divine deposit in each believer. Amen. Everyone that's been born again has received giftings from God. And the day is coming when we will give an account of what we have done in our body. Have we been faithful to take what God invested and invest it in others? Do you understand? It's not about just me coming and getting. I need to come to God, and I do need to get, so I have something to give. But not just so I just get something. Amen. Whatever God gives you, you can share, you can give. And whatever you give, you don't lose. But if you don't invest or give what He gives you, you can lose that. That's another whole teaching for another day. But what is faith? This is a faith walk. Amen? And a faith walk is not always a cake walk, right? Walking by faith and not by sight, not by how things appear, not by how we're feeling even. But we're walking by faith, confidence in God's word, God's voice speaking to us, knowing that if God tells us to do something, and our soul says, but that's impossible for me to do, that you're going to tell your soul, but I can do what? All things through Christ. You take charge of your soul. You're supposed to be ruling from your spirit and not from your emotions. But if we don't strengthen up our spirit, if we're not gluttons for His presence, if we don't hunger and thirst for God, for His presence, for His power, His anointing in our lives, amen, for an obedient heart, if we don't hunger for those things, then we're going to be filled with something else. And if we're not hungry for Him, for His presence, for His word, then we have to ask ourselves, then what am I full of? Something is filling me up. Something is satisfying. Something is telling me that I don't need God because I have this and I have that. Are you hearing me? And if I don't hunger for Him, I'm not going to come to Him. I'm not going to drink of His presence. Amen. I'm not going to feed on His word. And I'm not going to be nourished and strengthened and built up in my spirit. And if my spirit is not strong, the flesh will win every time. And some people think, oh, they're pretty spiritual, but actually they're soulish. I want to read you something by Albert Barnes, who's a great commentator. He says, the hypocrite makes up in ardor. Ardor means enthusiasm or passion. The hypocrite makes up in ardor what he lacks in sincerity. And he who is really deceived is usually deceived under the influence of some strong and vivid emotion, which he mistakes for true religion. He goes on to say, but where there is at first great ardor, zeal, and confidence, which soon dies away, hear me, then it is clear that they never had any real attachment to Christ and his cause. In other words, we can have emotional experiences. We can be moved even to tears, but be unrepentant towards God. We can come under conviction and even be remorseful over our lives and over our sin, and yet not be truly repentant in our hearts towards God. Repentance means I am done with my ways. I have turned to follow Jesus. I have made a 180-degree turn. I was going that direction. Now I'm going his direction. I'm not double-minded. I'm not one day going my direction, the next day going his direction. I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. Are you hearing me? Repentance means I have changed my mind about what I was doing and where I was going. And I am following Christ. The reason why people and we all love entertainment is because it satisfies the soulish part of us. Stimulates the soul. If you hear comedy, you know, or watch an action movie, you get an emotional rush, and it satisfies the emotional part of man. So we're prone to look for ways to entertain ourselves. Are you hearing me? And so, likewise, a lot of churches have picked up on that and said, you know what? You want to get people into your church? Entertain them. Put on a show. I hope you know we're not about that here. We have music. God gives music. Music is a blessing. God's not against entertainment, but God doesn't want us to replace him with entertainment.
Yeah.
He's not wanting us just to do whatever makes me feel good and deny the will of God for my life. If we do what we feel like doing, we end up in trouble. If you get up in the morning, you say, you know what? I really don't feel like going to work today. Turn the alarm clock off and go back to sleep. Guess what? You're getting a call from the boss. Say, where were you? I just didn't feel like going to work today. Guess what? How does Trump say it? You're fired. We cannot be led by our emotions. We must be led by the Spirit of God. Now, Hebrews 3:12. I'm getting to the word here. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, that word unbelief means unfaithfulness. We are called to a relationship in the Lord. Amen? And so, unbelief is synonymous with disobedience. Unfaithfulness. So if I am disobedient, I'm being unfaithful to him. If you're in a relationship, a marriage relationship, and your spouse decides, you know what? I like you and all, but I think I'm going to go play the field for a while. What happens to that relationship? It's not good. So we are in a covenant, a marital covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are espoused to him. We're looking forward to the day when we shall be reunited with him in his kingdom and at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Amen. The consummation of this marriage, it was sealed in his precious blood. It is a blood covenant. When we lift up the communion cup, it is a blood, amen, covenant. And we're saying, Lord, I am espoused to you. I'm married to you. I will keep myself, save myself for only you. I have eyes for only you. I will have no other gods before you. So unbelief is unfaithfulness to Him. Unbelief is you and I not believing God. Now listen, Hebrews 3:13 says, exhort or call near one another daily. Think about it in this sense. We're encouraging one another. Be reconciled to God. Come back to God. Come to church. Come to fellowship. Amen? We're calling near. We're calling people to God. Exhort. Daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, I've talked about this hardening before. A hardening takes place when we continue to disregard the voice of God. God was speaking, we're not listening. Or we're saying, one of these days, I'll obey. God says, I want you to pray. I want you to kneel before me. I want you to lift your hands. I want you to give me praise. Amen. And we say, not right now. One of these days. I don't feel like it, Lord. What is the sacrifice of praise anyways? It's praising Him regardless of the situation. How about giving thanks in all situations, in all things, giving thanks? It means that even if things aren't going the way I expect them to go, I still give thanks to God because I trust God's heart. I know that God is going to work it out somehow, even though I can't see it right now. He's going to work it out. Amen. So I give Him thanks. Say, Lord, thank you that all these things will work together for my good. Romans 8:28, right? Remember Saul of Tarsus, later became Paul the Apostle. You've heard me say this before, but you know how Saul was very zealous. He was very passionate. Saul was an emotional kind of guy. And he was emotional about his devotion to what he thought was God's will when he persecuted the church. You understand, there are people, there are terrorists who persecute Christians who think that they're doing God's will, and they're emotional, passionate, even willing to suffer to make somebody else suffer, thinking that that's doing the will of God. So you can be passionate about something. You can be demonstrative about something. You can jump up and down and twirl around and do all kinds of charismatic gymnastics and not be right with God. That doesn't mean you're right with God. It doesn't mean you're spiritual just because you shout and clap and praise. Amen? Come on, anybody can do that. Am I suggesting that you don't? I'm suggesting that you should give God your best praise. I'm suggesting that God deserves greater praise than the Seahawks. Amen? The Seahawks didn't die on a cross for me. You should reserve that praise, amen, that kind of praise, your best praise for Him, amen, because He's worthy of it. But folks, we don't want to confuse emotionalism for spirituality. When you are in right standing with God, it does move you emotionally, but you don't follow your emotions. You follow the Spirit of God, and good emotions follow. You get that? I was quiet till Jesus messed me up good. I was the quiet one in the family, and we're a noisy family, but I was the quiet one, right, Bruce? But when God got a hold of me, I was no longer quiet. Unless, of course, I was drunk or stoned or something, then I could get pretty noisy too. You know, and playing rock and roll and all that. You know? But as a person, I'm more of a quiet, shy, reserved individual. But the anointing, the Spirit of God, makes me a different man. Same thing with you. Amen? And the Spirit of God is on you, you're just like a different person. Wow. I've never seen you so bubbly. And the things that are coming out of your mouth, I know that can't be you. Those revelations and that truth that's coming out of you, that's got to be God. So God chooses the foolish things, doesn't he? To confound the wise. But listen to what he said here. He's warning the church. He's saying, guys, be careful that you don't depart from God because of an unbelieving heart. He said, but encourage one another daily. Verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. I have looked at this, studied this, prayed over this in every angle I know. And folks, it means exactly what it says. Just like it's written, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. In other words, God's desire is that you and I would be planted and that our roots would go deep into Christ. Amen. So that no matter what happens in life, you're not going to be moved. You're not going to be shaken off your foundation. Amen. You're going to be a person who endures to the end. Hold fast what you have. Don't let any man take your crown. Don't compromise with evil. Amen. Get rid of anything. Get it out of your life. Don't watch anything. Don't listen to anything that in some way could draw you away, that could pollute your mind and take you from your steadfastness in Christ. We need to build up our spirit. Amen. So that we have strength inwardly. Because you cannot stand outwardly if you're not strong inwardly. You cannot have a public ministry unless you have a private devotion with God. Amen? He said in verse 15, today, if you will hear his voice, if you can still hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Verse 16, he said, for who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see they could not enter into the land of promise because of what? Unbelief. So my question then is, what is unbelief and what does unbelief look like? We talk about unbelief. Number one, unbelief is rooted in self-confidence. It's rooted in that part of us that wants to be independent from God. Unbelief is not putting my confidence in him, but putting confidence in self. Now, I know we hear that message all of our lives. Probably we've heard it, that you need to be self-confident. But actually, in Christianity, God is weaning us off the self so that we will depend on him, so that his power and his glory can be displayed in and through our lives. Because if we are focused on self, we cannot produce any good fruit that lasts. Amen? The fruit that God looks for is the fruit of the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. And we cannot produce that kind of fruit unless we are plugged into him who is that vine that supplies that grace for us to be a reflection of his heart in this world. We can do nothing without him. So the first part of unbelief if we're rooted in ourselves, if our confidence is in our ability, for example, even to live for God, we're really not living for God. I say this many times, but we're not here to work for God. God called us to walk with him. There's a difference. Under the law you worked for, in the new covenant, you walk with and you work together with Jesus. Amen? Because he gives us his grace, his spirit. So we need to understand that unbelief is rooted in this self-confidence. We got to be confident in the Lord alone, amen? And I said it already, but we cannot walk in His ways if we're full of our own ways. Isaiah 55 and 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." A lot of times what we think are God's thoughts are our thoughts. God told me to tell you, did He? If God told you to tell me, then God would have told me too. That's how you can judge a true prophecy. God sends prophets sometimes because we need the help to hear. He will only reinforce what is already put in your heart. Samuel told Saul, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, become another man." And he says, "Come with me, I'm going to tell you what's in your heart." The prophet was going to show him what was in his heart. And it would bear confirmation to what God had already spoken and put in him, you see. No different than you and I today. If you're hearing a word and somebody says they have a word from God, it's going to be in agreement with something that's been there already. It's like blowing on the ember that was just kind of smoking flax in your spirit. It was kind of a dim light, and you're kind of like, yeah, kind of see that. And then the prophet comes along and he all of a sudden that ember just lights you right up and you're just like, oh, now I see it. But if it's like completely foreign to you, watch out. Are you hearing me? When we're full of our ways, we don't sense the need to pray or seek the Lord for direction. In Psalms 27 and 8, the psalmist said, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" Isn't it interesting? I said this, I think we were talking about it Thursday night, but how we have the ability, or Wednesday, to, I don't know, they're all run together. It's like I'm doing something just about every night, it seems like. But we talk about, you know, the abilities that we have to talk with ourselves in a healthy way. We have conversation. Ever have a conversation with yourself? Sure. We tell ourselves, "What are you doing? Why did you do that? Or why don't you do this? That's a great idea." Ever do that? We have the ability as human beings to actually have a conversation within ourselves. Amen? So, because God gave us this thing called self-control. So that means that I have to tell myself when I don't feel like praying that you're going to go pray. And I got to get past the flesh. I got to get past the emotions. I got to get past that stubborn will that says, "I want it my way. I don't want to do that." And we have to tell that part of us to do what? Submit, right? Shut up. Be quiet. We have to tell ourselves what to do. It's no different than getting up and going to work. You got to tell yourself, "I know you want to sleep, but you got to get up." Amen? Or it's going to cost you. The same thing is true spiritually. It costs us more than we realize when we're not listening to the voice of God when He's telling us to lift our hands to praise Him or to seek His face or to shut off the television or whatever He's telling us to do. It costs us by not listening to His voice. How many know that God has good plans and good thoughts for you? God loves you. God wants only the best for you. So we got to start listening to Him and not listen to our emotions. That will fool us into thinking that if I do what I feel like doing, I'll feel good. Sometimes you feel good initially, but then later it produces death, doesn't it? Because you didn't listen to Him. Amos 5 and 4, "For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live." How do we live? We live by seeking Him, by connecting to Him, by continuing in Him. Amen? By being a worshiper of God. Psalms 42 and 1, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God." He thirsted for His presence, God's presence. Amen. Psalms 143 and verse 6, "I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land." You know, when the Jews talk about lifting up their cup, they lift up their hands. You know that the Bible says that we're supposed to lift up holy hands? They lift up their hands. They lift up their cup. towards God. You lift them up because when you want to receive something, you reach out your hands. Amen? So your heart and your hands have to be in agreement. Amen? Reach out your hands. It's biblical. Well, I don't lift my hands. Well, why don't you try it? You'll like it. Psalms 84:2. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're awesome. You're wonderful. Thank you, Lord, that you are the strength of my life. You are my confidence. You are my ability, Lord. You're my peace. You're my joy. You're my love. You're my all in all. You're all that I need, Lord. And I want more of you in my life, God. I want to be filled with you, Jesus. You see, we're not ready for God's will until we're ready to deny our own will. This is the struggle. You've got to build up your spirit. You've got to pray. You've got to be in the Word. You've got to be in fellowship. You've got to continue with Christ and build up your spirit. Amen. Otherwise, that flesh, that other will, amen, will refuse to submit to God's will. If you don't get a hold of yourself, you will not live out the will of God for your life. And one day you'll wake up and you'll say, where have all the years gone? And the time when I could have been submitting myself and obeying God and doing the will of God, I just kept putting it off because my will said, but I did it my way. You hear me? Elijah. God used Elijah, didn't he? And mighty demonstrations of power. But before that could happen, God had to humble Elijah before he could be entrusted with a greater responsibility. So what does God do? God has to humble his people. And we say, God, what's going on in my life? Why all this stuff? Why all these things? Because God knows that if we're self-confident and full of ourselves, we cannot be a trustworthy vessel in his hands. We'll end up getting in the way, interfering with what he wants to do. We'll be double-minded. He can't use the proud. And so God allows us to go through this process of humility. Abraham had to wait 25 plus years for this promised son, Isaac, remember? And he had to bring him to a place where Abraham was no longer able, amen, to have children. Amen? And Sarah as well. So God had to bring him to the place where he couldn't, so God could fulfill what he promised to him by a miracle. Do you want to walk in the supernatural? Amen. But if you want to walk in the supernatural, and we all do, amen? We want to live a supernatural life because God is supernatural. We want to walk with God, and we want to be a vessel that God works in and works through. Then we've got to be through with ourselves. We have to be in humility. God cannot use a proud vessel. I've seen a lot of people that were proud about their gifts. Come on, some people use their gifts to manipulate and control and take money from people and all kinds of stuff. Amen. All kinds of junk. God can't use people like that. They may have a gift and they're going to be given an account for that gift, but it's not going to be pretty. Amen. If they haven't submitted that in themselves to the authority of God. We need to be under his authority to actually have authority, legitimate authority. Amen. We need to be humble so that I'm now depending on relying upon the ability of God, and I'm not allowing myself to be in charge. Even though I could, I refuse to allow myself to have its way. Humility is not weakness, it's actually strength under control or under restraint. It's me saying, I could tear you up and down with my mouth, but instead I'm going to bless you who curses me. Are you hearing me? I have to humble myself to bless somebody who curses me. And so God takes us through the process of humility because he wants vessels, amen, that come to the place where they say, okay, Lord, I'm tired of struggling. I'm through striving. I'm just going to start saying yes from now on. I'm going to be a willing, submissive vessel that you can trust. You need something done, Lord, I'll do it. You're looking for somebody to use? Here I am, Lord. Amen? But in order to do that, we can't be full of our own ways. We have to deny ourselves Moses spent 40 years in the desert, didn't he? Tending sheep before his burning bush experience. He had to wean Moses off himself and the ways of Egypt. All Moses knew, and most of his life, you know, was the way of the Egyptian, of the heathen. So God took him out of that whole situation, everything that he was familiar with, that he was comfortable with, and he brought him into a place he'd never been before. And now Moses is tending sheep, and he's learning how to be a vessel. He's learning how to humble and yield and hear the voice of God. And that's where he has the burning bush experience. God can only move us forward when we have come to the place where we are tired of being where we've been. Are you tired of being where you've been? Are you through with living the way you've been living? Again, God can't move us forward until we're tired of being where we've been and living like we've been living. This is where the distinction comes in, because there are people who say with their mouth, God, I want your will, but they're unwilling to move from where they've been. And they're unwilling to allow God to change them. They're saying, I like my life the way it is. I want Jesus in my life. I want salvation. I want God's blessing in my life, but I don't want the will of God for my life. I want to do my thing. And even though we may say, God, show me your will, I want to do your will, but in practice, we're actually denying him because we do what we want to do. And if there's any time and any space left over, we may give that to God. Are you hearing me, somebody? Well, I'll give you a little change on the weekend. I'll give you a little of my time. I've denied myself to come and sit in a comfortable seat this morning, sing some songs. You understand? We got people, our brothers and sisters around the world, who are being slaughtered for the name of Jesus. And they will not turn back. They will not shut up. They will not cease to testify about the Lord. Why? Because they've discovered something superior and greater than anything that this world could give them. Because the love of God is so great in them, their spirit is so strengthened in God, that they're willing to do anything for God because they're so in love with Jesus. They're willing to sacrifice. The love of God is a sacrificial love. It's a love that says, I'm going to do for my brother and my sister. I'm going to stand in the gap for them. I'm even willing to lay down my life for my friend. That's the love of God. Amen. It means that I'm willing to be uncomfortable so that somebody else can be comfortable. That was Paul the Apostle. You look at how he suffered, but he did it for the church. He was poor that they could be rich, he said. God's looking for disciples, not a crowd. Jesus didn't say, go and attract a bunch of people. Have an entertainment center set up with all the lights and the bells and the whistles, with the heated pews and, all the comforts. Don't forget the coffee shop. That's got to be. I think we should have a coffee shop. Wouldn't that be great? She said no. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Pose. Aye's got it, so I don't know. Anyway. So, how about David? David was anointed by Samuel to be king over Israel. But it was about 15 years before he actually ascended the throne. Why is that? Because he had to be rejected. He had to be chased. He had to be hunted like an animal until he was brought into a place where he would learn to trust his God. David had to go through a process to be ready to ascend the throne. God had to get David over himself before he could trust him with Israel. Are you hearing me? Do you understand that's what God wants to do in our lives? He wants us to get over ourselves so that we'll be yielded, available, willing vessels. Say, Lord, here am I. I'm done with this world. I find no pleasure in the temporal things. I'm here to do your will, O God. Jesus didn't live for himself. He lived for his Father's will. How many are discovering that the things of this world are not satisfying you like they used to? That's a work of the cross in your life. That's a work of grace in your life. God is weaning us off these things that once choked us and kept us fruitless. And the enemy's very good. He baits us with these temporary things and entertainment. 24/7 on your iPad, you know, you can be entertained. And you can spend all your time just entertaining yourself. And before you know it, your life has gone by. The devil has robbed you of your inheritance. Are you hearing me, somebody? We got to develop a hunger for God. We've got to start shutting down these other things. And we need to start getting into His presence. At first, it's not easy. It's going to require some discipline. I've got to make myself pray. But after a while, you start doing what's right. You'll find out that good feelings will follow obedience. And all of a sudden, you'll find yourself delighting in prayer, delighting in the Word, delighting in serving God. Hallelujah. Why? Because the world has no hold on me any longer. I have died to the world. And I'm alive to God and for His purposes. No flesh will glory in His presence. Do you want to deal a death blow to your flesh? Make it obey you, amen, and start praying and seeking God's face. And you'll find out all of a sudden, there's something greater than the things this world has to offer me. And that is the will of God for my life. Oh boy. What God has called us to is beyond what we can handle on our own. Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What confidence? It's a confidence that someday God is going to reward me for my faithfulness. Even if I don't see any immediate results, I keep on sowing, I keep on watering, I keep on praying, I keep on serving, I keep on blessing, I keep on talking to people and blessing people. Are you hearing me? Whether I see any immediate fruit or not, it doesn't matter. I am sowing in hope that someday what I'm investing, what I have sown in the Spirit will come back to me. Amen? Galatians 6:9, therefore let us not become weary in well-doing, but in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. If you don't quit, if you don't give up, keep on sowing, keep on praying. No matter what it looks like, no matter what you're going through, you tell yourself that you will obey the will of God, whether it feels good or not. And each time you do that and you deny yourself, you're able to fill that horn with oil and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've been faithful in little. You're going to make me ruler of much. Because I was willing to follow in your footsteps and deny myself that I might do the will of God. Are you hearing me today? Am I speaking the truth today? Yes. Another thing that is unbelief, folks, is hopelessness. Whenever we feel hopeless, we're actually in unbelief. Jeremiah 18:11. Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And verse 12, and they said, that is hopeless. When people are hopeless, this is how they live. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. Unbelief is hopelessness. Hopelessness produces apathy, complacency, a disregard for the things of God. Do you understand? If I'm in faith, I'm in the will of God. If I'm in faith, I'm in obedience to the voice of God. If I'm in unbelief, I am doing what I want to do and disregarding the will of God. All sin is unbelief, and unbelief is sin. Every sin is unbelief. Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope
by the power of the Holy Spirit. New Living Translation says it this way: I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through what? Through trusting Him. Unbelief prevents us from receiving from God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Amen? So God is insulted when we don't really believe He cares for us. Come on, don't act so spiritual out there today. We've all had those moments, haven't we? God, do you care for me? When I'm in unbelief, then I don't trust Him. I don't believe He really has good for me. Our confidence is not to be in people, but in God. And a few more points here, guys, and we can go. I'm sure I'll be out of here by 3, okay? Actually, we're still on day at Slam, so it'll be, I got another 4 hours, but yeah. I want to say this because I see this too often. And even when I was a young man, I had so much confidence in my friends, you know, that my friends were the ones who were kind of, you know, defining me, telling me who I was or who I wasn't. And I just wanted to hang out with my friends all the time, you know, and I trusted in my friends, and over and over and over again, my friends betrayed me. I mean, everyone, even my closest friends, betrayed me. And you know what? Now that I look at it, I believe that God had a hand in that, because God was trying to tell me, your trust is in the wrong place. Don't put your trust in man, but trust in me. Some people's faith is dependent on the faith of others. For example, if someone's spouse doesn't come to church, they don't come to church. You know? Or their friends. If their friends are not walking with God, they're not walking with God. You can see a crowd mentality easily. Sometimes people will respond to altar calls only because somebody else is responding. Are you hearing me? Well, I'll do it if so-and-so does it. But what about listening to the voice of God? What is God telling you to do? Are you doing it because you want to be seen, or because somebody else is doing it, or because God is moving you, amen, to do something? This is very important, because when we put our confidence in people, people let us down, don't they? Yeah. Now, as believers, we should be the most trustworthy people on the planet. We should be somebody that you can be trusted, or people of our word. Can you say amen? Amen. We're not here to take advantage of anybody. We're here to be someone that can even keep a confidence if somebody needs somebody to talk to, and then they can know that it's going to be safe with us. If they tell us something in confidence, it stays in confidence. We're people of integrity. We're people of our word. Why? Because we are like Jesus, who is perfect. Amen. We want to live like He did. God is perfect, isn't He? We want to be like our Father when we grow up. Now, I don't want to get off into the perfectionism thing. That's another whole different ballgame. But I'm not talking about perfectionism. I'm talking about being Christ-like. And we'll get into that another day. Here's another one. When people are putting their confidence in people and not really in God, then when the minister fails or the minister leaves the church, they fall away. They leave the church. When the minister fails, they lose their faith in God. Why? Because their faith really wasn't in God in the first place. But they are putting all their eggs in the basket of a human being who's faulty. Amen. Now, we should not, of course, in any way condone that kind of behavior. But people fail. Anybody beside myself made a few mistakes along the way? Okay, we're in good company. So we understand, you know, a pastor is a messenger, right? And an under-shepherd under him, but pastors are just people, right? And they fail. You guys know that very well. Why you look at me that way? But no. But, you know, we don't want to put our faith in man. We want to put our faith in the God of that man or that woman. You get it? So when we're representing the Lord and we're being ministers, what we're trying to do is present Christ to people and bring people to Christ and not to ourselves. And if we're not careful, we will become some kind of idol to people. Amen? And they'll put all their confidence in the Holy One, the Guru, the Holy Man. And then if he fails, they fail or they fall. Why? Because their confidence was not in God himself, but in the vessel of God. We're simply vessels that God works through. Can you say amen? Amen. Having said that, I have a confession to make. No, I'm just... Jeremiah 17:5, here it goes. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Now we're to follow the good examples of others, amen, without putting our faith in them to carry us through to victory. A lot of people depend on other Christians to carry them through to victory. You understand that's impossible. We need to be pointing people to the only one that can keep you, amen, and bring you through to victory. One more thing, complacency is unbelief. When I'm not serving and I'm not doing and I'm not involved and I'm not connected to the vine and to the will and the purpose of God, I'm in complacency. It's because I'm really in belief, unbelief. Zephaniah 1:12, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. So this could be in a positive sense as well. In other words, God's not going to do good things. He's not going to do bad things. He's just kind of in neutral zone. Why was God going to punish Israel? Because they were complacent, because they didn't believe his word. What does he do? God sends conviction upon us. First, he sends conviction. And if we're not listening to his voice, then God has to chastise us. Understand? Because he loves us. And if we're not listening to that, then sometimes it will require an open rebuke. And even judgment eventually, if people don't start listening to God, judgment will come to a people. Are you hearing me? America is at the crossroads. America is in trouble. We need to be praying. We need to be examples. We need to be living right ourselves. Amen? And being influencers in this world. We can be world changers if we will submit ourselves, amen, and not be living for ourselves. 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. What they're saying here is that God doesn't mean what he says. Unbelief is not believing God. Unbelief produces complacency. If you show me a complacent person, an apathetic Christian, they are an unbelieving Christian. Because faith always has action. Faith has works. Faith produces fruit. Come on, somebody. Faith is not just sitting and listening to a sermon and going home and forgetting all about it. Faith is me and believing in my heart, amen, and then expressing that with my mouth. And in my walk, I express what I believe, amen. And what you really believe is how you will live your life. If you say you believe in Jesus, then you will be an example, amen. People will know that you're a true believer, not because I call myself a Christian, but because I live like Christ did. I am a Christian, amen. I'm not here to act like a Christian. I'm supposed to be a Christian. An actor is a hypocrite. You can act spiritual, act Christian. But the question is, am I a Christian? Am I truly born again? Am I truly walking in the Spirit? God means what he says. I'm going to finish with one more, okay? And then tonight, if you want to come out, there's more. Fear and worry is unbelief. When we're fearful, when we're worried, we're in unbelief. Matthew 6:31, Jesus said what? Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, what? And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Fear and worry is unbelief. God wants us to believe in His goodness. God wants us to believe that He cares for us. God wants us to know that He cares for us, that He's not against you, that He's for you, that God's plan is superior to what our plans are. If we're willing, amen, to put our plans aside, to come to God and lay those things, my dreams, my desires, just to lay them on the altar and say, God, whatever needs to die here, I want it to die. Amen. Whatever goes through, amen, to resurrection, we're going to go with it. Amen. Some things God will take out of your life. Some things He will leave alone. Some things He will just breathe into. Amen. And supernaturalize the natural thing that He gave you, such as your giftings. Amen. Even your natural abilities. He can take a shy person and make them a spokesman for Him. That's what God does. I don't know about you, but I want to see Jesus that day. Would you stand? I want to hear Jesus say, good job, right? Well done. Hallelujah. So Lord, deliver us from unbelief. Lord, produce in us through Your word the faith of heart. Lord, I pray that You would challenge us by Your Holy Spirit daily. Lord, to be people of prayer, people of Your word, people of Your presence, people of obedience, people who will serve You, people who will open their mouths when You tell us to, and to speak for You, God, to do what You tell us to do. God, we want You to strengthen us. Right now, God, we're asking You to enable us to do what we can't do, that by Your grace You would strengthen each one of us, God. I ask You to strengthen our people, God. Strengthen the people of this body right now by Your Spirit in the inward man, God. Would You just call out to God right now and say, Jesus, I ask You to fill me with the power of Your Holy Spirit. God, I ask You to forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Strengthen me, Lord, right now by Your Spirit, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart that I can know Your will, that I can do Your will. God, I don't want to be unbelieving, but I want to be believing. I want to be a person who walks by faith and not by sight. Strengthen me now, God, I pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Blessed be Your name. Glory to Your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Him. They shall be filled. He is our righteousness. Lord, we're hungry. Come and feed us. Fill my cup, Lord.